You're going to count anymore, Mitchell?
Nine.
All right, Elon Musk. Jesus.
Yeah.
And we are live, just to continue tradition.
Great. Yeah.
Great. How are we all?
Yeah.
Good week. You all sound as happy as I am.
Not as fucking chipper as you pricks.
Fuck low emissions.
Oh, fucking hell, to you, Les.
You're fucking cunts.
I mean, it's been in for a while, Luke, so you've only got yourself to blame.
Look, I travel from my house to work to the shopping centre, and that's it. And that's like 2 miles. Don't need to go anywhere else.
Only yourself to blame.
No, I blame the cunts that decide to charge you for driving your own car that you pay tax on, insurance on, MOT on. And yeah, we could go on all day. So
wait, how did you get charged going to the shopping centre?
No,
he drove to the airport, didn't he?
Oh, okay.
And he forgot to pay. Have you paid the DART charge as well? Or did you not use
it? I didn't need to go with the DART charge. No.
Oh, okay. Oh, make sure you don't get fined for that one as well. I mean, you've got some history with that as well, didn't you? So,
you got the car anyway, didn't you? It's not yours.
No.
So all of that aside, just be smarter, Luke, and pay your fines before become fines.
Wait, how do I vote? I don't normally vote.
Well, then you can't vote. Then you can't vote.
Oh, my God.
Well, because no one actually told me about this. Yeah, so
how to vote?
No, low emission zones. That were a massive part of the last
vote. Who do I need to put in Parliament to get rid of this shit? Do I have to vote myself?
It's never going to go now.
It's never going to go.
Bullshit.
they're thinking about extending it even further.
Of course they are, because they need the money, because they've got to pay in other fucking countries.
Yeah, it's going to be right on the border of your house is where they're
extending. Mate, wouldn't be surprised.
Get a newer car, then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and then fucking charge me a load more money. No, I'm good.
So right, let's go to football, because I mean we're going to quiet them down for a bit. We're going to talk about West Ham, Chelsea to start with. Chelsea were the home team, so Mitchell starts. Go.
Yeah, Bob might have to fill in a few blanks for me here because
basically a bunch of jammy cunts. So that's all we need to say.
I've heard some people moaning. I haven't seen why. It looked like a normal game of football to me. I didn't see any dodgy challenges or refereeing decisions. I've seeing the score as 1-0 West Ham as I was leaving football. So we had about 30 minutes left of the game. I did think, well, here we go. This is very typical Chelsea. But I didn't need to doubt this time round. Normally we struggle in the second half, but a couple of nice goals, especially from Palmer. World class finish. What a strike! My goodness me!
Deflection.
Yeah, it was a horrific. He didn't even celebrate it because it was such a deflection. It wouldn't have been a goal without it.
Doesn't stop it from being a world class goal. We're touching that in Arsenal, Man City.
Yeah, he did well doing a run into the box to make the opportunity. But
he did well to run into the box.
No,
crawled out of his arse.
He was outside, and you had about three defenders in front of him, and he's just fucking.
Listen.
He's already started. Fucking hell.
Oh my God. But yeah, talk about the West Ham goal. Another world class moment. Cole Will. Oh, what an assist. What a pass to the boy. Fucking hell, I think he forgot the team he was playing for. Set Bowen up perfectly.
Best finish of the game, though, to be honest.
What? No, Neto's was a decent finish.
Went as good as Bowen's.
Nothing Bowen's about.
Bowen's had a better assist, no doubt. But Neto's was a nice finish. I think that's what people were complaining about, wasn't it? Neto's goal. I think there was the tackle on Bowen just before that and then the offside, was it?
Yep.
So, right, first of all, the Bowen tackle, did you think that was a foul?
Yeah.
Okay. And then did you think Cuckoo was offside?
So it depends what the actual rules are, because who knows what the actual rules are. If he's attempting to play the ball, which he obviously was, to Cucurella or that, no, not Cucurella. Who's he playing it to?
So the ball did end up to Cucurella, but I don't know if he's trying to pass it to Cucurella. I think he's trying to go for goal. But if you don't touch the ball, it doesn't matter, right?
Is that the rule? I'm not sure that's the rule.
Wasn't there something that happened beginning like earlier in the season, Clive? The similar situation where someone got fouled and then they went and scored, but it was a no. I think we all agreed that it wasn't a foul. Isn't that the same sort of situation?
I think that you're referring to Arsenal when, I can't remember what game it was, but it was when Saliba challenged someone similarly to the Chelsea one. But I think it was less of a foul than, I'm not sure who committed that foul on Bowen. I'm going to call it a foul. It was a foul. I'm not sure the goal shouldn't have been given because of that foul, because I don't know what their length of time that you have to leave it or whatever bollocks they talk about. But I think it was a foul personally.
I don't even think they looked at it.
So I've not seen the offside in the debate. So can you run me through what kind of happens?
So basically, the ball's played in. Who's jumping up for the header, Mitchell? I can't remember his shitty name.
Oh, I don't know. Cucurella's on the back post.
So Cucurella's offside, yeah? Ball's played into the box. Someone's jumped up to attempt to head the ball.
A Chelsea player?
Well, both, to be fair. But the Chelsea player's flown over their head and they were checking whether it touched his head before it got to Cucurella, which it didn't.
It didn't. And Cucurella then gets the ball.
Gets the ball.
So he's offside.
Yeah. Well, if that's the rule, then yes.
No player touched the ball. So the cross is... He's offside when the cross is made.
No. So Cucurella's onside when the cross is played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he runs into an offside position. And that's why the argument is if it came off the Chelsea player's head...
Yeah.
Then Cucurella's offside.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's what took so long because they couldn't tell if it came off.
And did it come off the Chelsea player's head?
They decided no in the end.
Well, he's not offside then.
I've not asked if they decided it, Mitchell. Did it come off his head?
From the highlights I've seen,
they couldn't make it clear. They couldn't
make
it clear.
And the decision on pitch was goal.
Yep.
So there wasn't enough to overturn it to say it was offside.
No, basically.
So it's a goal, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I'm not sure whether that is the rule or not, because he was attempting to play the ball. I don't fucking know. But yeah, I mean, that part I wasn't as angry with. I wouldn't say I was more angry with the foul and it not being given a foul. Again, I'm...
So, sorry, just to go back to your sentence of attempting to play the ball. So are you trying to say... If the Chelsea player attempted to play ball and didn't play the ball and the player's ran offside because he's anticipating a touch, he should then be classed as offside? I don't understand what you mean by...
Well, no, I'm not saying that at all. I was just trying to understand.
Because that would be batshit crazy.
No, because I've seen people say that it's potential offside, but in my mind, it wasn't at the time anyway. Okay. But that's what I mean by I was trying to understand the rule. And obviously I hadn't bothered to look it up before I came on here. So,
Still seething.
I was so angry. I still am a little bit angry about it, to be honest, about the game in general. But yeah, I was more angry about the foul on Bowen beforehand. It was just a shoulder check,
wasn't it? I personally think that happens all the time.
He ran across him.
Maybe I need to check it again.
Like it's
the first time I watched it, I didn't think it was a foul.
For me, he's trying to take him out of play.
What do you have got there, though?
I don't know. But I mean, it's still a foul, no? You can't just take someone out in the middle of the pitch, can you?
So,
I mean, we had this discussion last time.
Neither player has the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just runs into him, knocks him over.
Runs across his path when Bowen's running towards the ball.
It's not like he's gone into shoulder barging, but he's sort of... it's one of them.
Would Bowen get the ball if he isn't tripped?
That's the thing. We don't know.
We don't know.
He wasn't the last man. He wasn't on his own. So,
but it's a foul. It's not a tough one to call. It's a fucking foul.
I mean, by the sounds of it, Liverpool got a penalty for the same thing.
I've not seen it.
Yep.
So I couldn't say.
I mean, as they should, because we don't need Arsenal in the league.
A ref will stop that from happening. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, oh, fucking hell.
Worries me.
Sorry, carry on, Mitchell, because
I mean, from what I did see, I feel like you've only got yourself to blame because you had a... our defence... No, it's genuine, because our defence was, again, shocking. Their goal came from a Chelsea mistake, and it looked like there was a lot of chances that West Ham had. And again, our back four is just... It's like in a zigzag. It's not in a line. No one's really taking charge. And I think Kudus right at the end with possibly the best chance to level up the game. And it just didn't... I don't know, it didn't...
That little half turn and there was a block... It's a great block, to be fair, by Tosin.
Yeah, it was Tosin. Yeah,
Tosin. Yeah,
you've been doing
Tosin. But yeah, but outside of that, we still are struggling. I feel with our strike force because, I mean, we win the game 2-1, but it's a wicked deflection that gets one of the goals, and then Neto, after a blocked shot, gets his shot away for another goal. So it's a bit. It's still a bit of a worry because you don't know where the goals are coming from. It was a little bit lucky, maybe.
Not getting so many penalties either.
Yeah, the defensive mistakes. Every single week there are defensive mistakes. He did change the keeper this time round. Is it Flecken? I can't remember his name there. I haven't seen any.
So that's what I was going to say to Bob. Like, obviously, you watched the whole game. How was the Chelsea goalkeeper?
A little bit iffy, I would say.
Really?
Yeah, he looked a little bit nervous on the ball. And I can't remember whether it was kind of before or after that initial mistake from Colwill. But yeah, he just looked a little bit nervous. Like other than that, I don't think we really gave him too much to worry about, really. But he did look nervous on the ball.
But no, outright mistakes like Sanchez has done the last 2 weeks in a row. Not going massively out off his line for no reason, leaving a gaping net behind.
Bob just doesn't want to talk about it anymore. it's no interest.
Did you have chances then, Bob, to win the game?
No, actually, that's kind of a lie. What frustrated me most about these games, it's not even the fact that we lost, although it is a little bit, like, obviously it's a bit of a kick in the teeth, especially on a Monday night. But it was the poor decision-making at times. I know I had a bit of a go in the group chat about Mavropanos.
I won't repeat what you said, but...
No, don't repeat what I said. But I mean, that one just kind of tipped me over the edge. But there was a load of them kind of things happening. Like, I think Creswell took a shot from like 40 yards out, and you just think, like, when you're, because Chelsea looked really good on the ball, I will say, like, when they had the ball, they didn't look like they were going to use it. They didn't look really good in terms of, like you say, Mitchell, like the force going forward, but when they had the ball, they didn't look like they were going to lose possession. So I just thought, when we were getting into those areas and we had opportunities to get into the box or whatever, why the fuck are you shooting from that far out? Just put a little cross in. Like, we've got Suchek in the box, we've got five players in the fucking box, why the fuck are you taking a shot?
Yeah, like you say, with a new keeper in there, put some pressure on him.
Yeah,
and try the wild shots from distance or the half volleys.
Yeah, it made no sense to me. But that was the thing I was most frustrated about. Like, obviously, the goals, you know, that those kind of things are going to happen. As much as I say that is a foul, it is one of them that, you know, it's not always given, I wouldn't say. So you can't be overly bitter about it. But I think the thing that I was most disappointed about was our stupid decision making. But there were some good performances again, and I think we actually looked quite good. I think certainly the first bit of the second half, I think we looked like the better team for a little while, until your first goal went in, and then it kind of changed. But Mitchell, I was going to say to you, actually, I was a little bit thinking, what the fuck is he doing when he took off because I think we just brought on Danny Ings and someone else, I can't remember, like another offensive player, when obviously it was 2-1 down. There's about 2 minutes left, 10 minutes left. And Chelsea brought on like two very defensive-minded players. And I just thought, like, you, at that point, you was keeping the ball really well. And I thought that could be a turning point for us. Maybe we can start applying a bit of pressure. Obviously, it didn't happen. Yeah. So maybe it was managerial genius, but
well,
I don't know.
Maybe, because I did see the last 10, 15 minutes, and there were a couple of moments when we were, like you said, we had the possession and we were moving it well up the wing, like Nkunku was on at that stage. But then we'd stop and we'd turn around and we'd go backwards and you could hear a couple of grumbles in the crowd. It was like, this is what happens every week. Go and kill the game. Like, we struggle with a one goal lead. There were definitely some grumblings. It's worked this week, but I mean, we've had 2 wins in 7. So,
are you going to say against a better team?
Against the better team?
Well, go on. Say it.
I wouldn't dream of it.
But do you actually think you was the better team in that game for a large period of it?
It's hard.
Do you think you deserve to win it?
Okay, it is hard to say. I mean, it looks like we had all the possession, but I feel like we do that quite a lot. We just don't put our chances away.
And like you possession, say, Forrest will tell you, don't mean nout.
Don't mean nout.
Forrest had 33%. Against Bournemouth, not Bournemouth, Brighton, and pumped them 7-0. So
I didn't realise their possession was that low. That's fucking mental.
Crazy, right?
But this is the thing. Even with the possession, the two goals that we got were, like I say, the wild deflection and then the possibly contentious one. That's not going to happen every week. I still worry where these goals are going to come from, and I still worry that in the back of our minds, we get a bit nervy. That's like Bob was saying, especially in the last 10 minutes, we're going a bit defensive. We're not trying to kill the game and we're going backwards. And we can't trust our defence to do that. We will make mistakes. Sanchez or not, we will make mistakes. So, I don't know. Something needs to change. Jackson needs to start scoring. That'd be nice. Maybe that'd change things.
Needs to get good assists from Cole Palmer, didn't he?
Yes.
Cole Palmer needs not to overhit his passes.
I still say he should have fucking finished that.
That did make me laugh actually yesterday when he was he went down. I think he thought he had done his hamstring or something, and I was like, please do not let him come off the pitch because we need him on to not score. When did he come off in the end? Did he have a hamstring thing?
I've not heard anything. I'm not sure what time he came off. I think by the time
he got subbed on the 52nd minute. So that does scream a bit of an injury, doesn't it?
I've not heard anything since. So maybe it was just a precautionary thing. But then I think he probably would have made that change anyway going into the 60th minute. But it don't sound like Nkunku did any better anyway.
I will say... and I know we talked about it in a couple of podcasts ago about Neto playing on the right hand side. When he switched over to that side, you looked so much better, I think, going forward. I don't know why, but you did.
Did Madueke come off? Or?
Yeah, I think Madueke came off, didn't he? Or did he? I can't remember.
Yeah. But it was both of them. Madueke and Sancho came off.
Yeah. Yeah, so now I moved over onto the right, and I can't remember who you had on the left at that point. Nkunku, right?
It might have been Nkunku because it looks like Gui came on, Mark Gui.
Yeah, Nkunku that was it.
Played up front. So.
But yeah, I do think towards the end of that match, if we had just made some better decisions, I think going forward, we actually looked quite bright. And if we had made some better decisions, got the ball in the box a couple more times, I can't do it to myself. I can't think about it again. When there's fucking six players in the box, like I counted them at the time, And I saw it fall to Maverick Panos, and I just thought, he's going to fucking shoot.
Don't shoot. It's like, 40 yards out. Don't shoot.
What the fuck is he doing? And you just, like, it's the last minute. That one, like I said,
last minute of injury time. Don't shoot.
What? Oh, it's so frustrating. But overall, for me, I'm not as angry as the previous Chelsea match, because that was just an absolute steamrolling. We had no... And to be honest, defensively, I actually think we looked pretty organised. I know we conceded two goals, but we obviously went in with a bit of a game plan. We put a lot of people behind the ball. And in the first half, we was really resilient. And the two goals that Chelsea did get, I think there was a little bit of fortune attached to it, maybe, other than the contentious, should it have actually stood kind of goal, which was actually quite a good goal. But yeah, fucking football, honestly. Fucking hate it.
So I've got one question for Mitch.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's stolen from the radio. I was listening to a particular radio station this morning. And someone said, what does failure look like for Chelsea? What does failure look like for Chelsea? In terms of the manager, obviously the honeymoon period is now kind of over, as you alluded to, 2 wins in 7 and only one of those in the league, I believe. If you do fall out of the top four at the end of the season and you don't win the Conference Cup, does he keep his job? Has he done good enough?
Yes, of course. I mean, even at the start of the season, it was never a goal to be top four. We never expected a top four. It would be a little bit disappointing not to win the Farmers Cup, because it should be an easy thing for us.
Your B squad should win it, for sure.
Your B squad should win it, yeah.
Although you've got rid of a few players last night, apparently.
We did have a little bit of a shift out. A lot of them were on loan.
You've only got 400 in your squad now. Yeah,
there's still plenty of them. So that might be a bit disappointing, but I still feel like we are ahead of where I thought we would be. It's annoying that...
Do you feel like your owners or your sporting directors or whoever's actually in charge of Chelsea think about progress and think about the bigger picture, given the history that you have with managers and sacking them?
Yeah, but that's Abramovich, isn't it?
I mean, Bowley's already got rid of how many managers?
It was only Potter, wasn't it?
Thomas Tuchel.
Well, Pochettino.
The Tuchel one, I think, was part of the buying in. I think they just had a complete clear out of everyone. Poch was never permanent, was he? That was the thing with Poch.
He would have been permanent for sure.
Yeah.
Like he was settling in again at Chelsea and at the end of last season.
Poch. But I just think Maresca is the first full-time permanent manager that Bowley has chosen, or the consortium, whatever, has chosen.
Potter. Potter would have certainly been their choice.
Yeah,
I think it was too big of a job for Potter at the time. Don't get me wrong. Too big of a job for him, yeah. But I like your owners don't give me any kind of faith in regards to keeping the faith of managers. Still, they might do, but we've not seen it yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's too early to tell. I mean, Maresca is already doing better than what Potter did. But yeah, I don't know. Top six is a successful season, I think. You fall out of the top six, I still would be of the mind that you keep him, because there are areas where we need to shore up going into next season, not mid-season, next season. But I like what I've seen in Maresca. I'm nowhere near the mind.
Cool. What about you, a Potter, Bob?
Fucking Potter out, mate.
No, oh God. Shocking.
If he can't get fucking Maverick Panos to stop shooting from 40 yards out, he's no good to fucking anyone.
I mean, you had an exciting sign in my opinion, in Ferguson. I think he could be a bit of a missing.
I can't believe that.
If you can keep him fit, I think he'll be very good for you.
I agree. I mean, he's about 12 years younger than everyone else in our squad as well, which is always good. I was quite happy with that. I like the idea that we've got like a young offensive player now. Fingers crossed he does stay fit. And yeah, I think he'll be good for us.
Fantastic.
I was trying to look up before you said about that whether what Graham Potter's record was at Chelsea versus Maresca's. Not to try and catch you out, Mitchell, but I was just intrigued. But Graham Potter managed 31 games and lost 11. So,
yeah,
I think he has done better, maybe. Has he? How many have you lost now?
I think I've only lost, five or six.
And how many games have you played?
24.
Yeah, but I think they're talking all competitions here.
Oh.
Well, you've not lost any in the Europa Farm League.
Nothing Europa.
Who'd you go out of the Carling Cup? So you've lost one in the Carling Cup.
Yeah, I think that might have been Newcastle.
And then you're still in the FA Cup. So
he's
maybe lost one more game on top of leagues.
So seven, right? Six. So, wait, half I thought you said you're
and Jez at Spurs.
Yeah. But I guess my point is that, say, you lost against West Ham, which obviously you didn't, but say you now lost another four games, right? And you're still playing the same way. Like, you've had that little slump where you did lose another four games. Just going back to Clive's initial question, would you still have faith that the board would keep on Maresca?
Oh, faith on the board? No idea. Faith in Maresca? Absolutely. I think the difference is just how we're playing. If you look at the games we've lost, or the games where we've struggled to win, should I say, they have all pretty much been defensive mistakes and strikers not striking. Strikers not striking. Whereas under Potter, it's like you say, he was like a deer in headlights. I don't think he really, when he started to feel the pressure, he couldn't handle it well, and there didn't seem to be any sort of structure, and no one really knew what they were doing. I think when Maresca, he came straight in and went, "You're my A team, you're my B team, this is what we're doing." And it's, you know, to a certain extent, it's not fully his fault, all of these defensive mistakes. I do think we're going to need to, I don't know, shore some things up, or maybe when Fofana and Badiashile comes back, maybe that'll make things a little bit better. But like you say, last week, we were never going to replace Thiago Silva. That's a big loss, as much as a leader than anything else.
I mean, you can definitely tell that he feels nervous about the defensive positions, because if you're replacing players in the 80th minute, and like against West Ham, when you've got full control of possession and looking like you'd be the most likely to score again, like that's got to be...
This is the problem. So the defensive problems have been there all season, but the forward problems hadn't been. We were scoring a lot of goals. Jackson was scoring a lot of goals. He was making a lot of goals. So, you know, it was kind of covering that bad spot. But now the goals have started to dry up a little bit. You're not really sure where they're going to come from. The defensive mistakes are starting to become a bit more prominent because of that.
So like with Arsenal, we've had an over-reliance on our right winger and Saka throughout a lot of this season and a little bit of last season. Do you feel the same with Cole Palmer at Chelsea? If Cole Palmer doesn't play well, Chelsea don't play well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Palmer, for like last season and this season, there's been a lot of moments where he's carried us into 3 points. But you can't, it's the same with Saka, you can't rely on him every
game. You can't be the, game, absolutely not.
And so someone else has to pick it up. And again, Jackson has really been so disappointing this second half of the season. No goals in eight now. All right, he's had two assists in that time. I won't moan about assists, that's fine. But he just looks so... He's got no confidence anymore. And Kunku don't seem to be doing any better. Mark Guy's not getting any time, really. Maybe you could blame Resca for that, but he's obviously not seen enough. And the wingers have dried up. Madueke looks sharp against West Ham. He's looked all right, but again, he's not banging in the goals. Sancho's gone a bit quiet. Neto, he gets 30 minutes here and there. Yeah, he got a goal yesterday. Maybe give him more game time, maybe see how that goes. But yeah, if this, like I said at the start of the season, you know, this is the problem. If we are not outscoring teams, we will make defensive mistakes. We're always going to make defensive mistakes. But that's something Maresca will need time to grow with. I don't think that's Maresca's fault at this stage.
I think if you didn't have Caicedo there, you'd concede about fucking six per
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
He's really grown into the role, hasn't he?
Yeah. This season, he's probably been Chelsea's best player. Yeah, absolutely. He's miles improved over last season. Yeah,
you've always had good defensive midfield players. Essien, yeah,
we do like
Conte. Oh, Conte?
Makélélé.
Kante
as well, yeah.
Yeah, Makélélé.
Yeah. And we normally always have good strikers, but that's dried up a little bit.
All right, Tottenham, Brentford, Luke Shaw. Hey,
it's who we are, mate.
Fucking.
Here we go.
Oh, dear.
Here we go.
Look, I'm happy. I didn't watch the game. I had a friend round. Really? Well, I don't want to give names out here, do I? You know? Nah. It was your sister, Mitchell.
Well, she's a
host. I mean, you guys, you know, I had to say it. Sorry, Mel.
Oh no, he's named her.
Oh, no. So in terms of getting back to business, from what I understand, he finally caved in and changed tactics.
Yeah, but did you listen to what he said about it though?
I did not, no, because I can't stand him. So
yeah, so he said that the reason why he changed his tactic was because we played Thursday night. We obviously still got injuries. Brentford have had a whole week to sort of see prep for this game. And the intensity to play at this part of the season with the injuries and stuff. Dragosin picked up an ACL injury. So he's out for the rest of the season. Again, fuck it, it's Tottenham. They're cursed, I'm telling you. They're cursed. And then,
bad management.
Nah, well, it is what it is. Now, well, you watched the game and he twisted it. So it's a little bit different in this instance.
I have seen it. Yeah.
So I can understand training and fucking that pisses me off. But yeah, in the game, he twisted it. But yeah, I see why he changed it. And it worked really well for us. It meant that we had more pressure on us. But like we was able to soak that pressure up and use our attacking players. And with the pace that we got with Spence, who was phenomenal. So
yeah,
good.
Yeah, he had a very good game.
Yeah, man of the match. He's quality. He hasn't had a bad game yet. I mean, touch wood. You know, he continues that he's been our best player so far. Son is looking back to his old ways again, where he's
are you going to say
players.
Back to his old ways? Are you going to that much? You're going to reinforce that a lot? Like his old ways were scoring 20 goals a season. He's not getting near that this season, is he?
Well. Clive, like we take it as it is, mate. Yeah, a game by game. It's like what I'm seeing for the last few games is that when you see in Son, he's like getting the ball, passing it back. I'm only Saka for doing that and not taking on the players. It's like you're a winger, fucking take on the player. Yeah, he's been doing that. He's been taking on the players, finding space, finally sprinting. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's had a knock. I don't know through the season. I have no idea. But he's looked sharp. He's looked good last few games. So I'm hoping he can continue it. That's what I'm getting at. Is that he's making things happen. You know, he's crossed for the corner, which was quality. I guess we probably watched Arsenal on that one.
Do you think that maybe it's the way that you did play in that game probably suited Son's style? Because if I think back to when Son was really good, like, and he had some really good seasons, maybe you wasn't playing on the front foot all the time. I don't know if I'm wrong there, but.
But he had like a Kane that could pass a ball from like anywhere on the pitch, and they had this system going on. He doesn't have that with anyone at the moment, and if he's trying to build it up with someone, the player gets injured, so he hasn't got time to play that sort of style of football. Because before, yes, it would be we'd play defensive up to Harry Kane, and then you'll see Son run on the left, or I can't remember who would be on the right, but someone would be on the right making the runs, and you'll just see him run like that. But we don't play that football no more. We play like an all-round type football, all attack, and everyone's doing this whole attacking part.
But that's what I mean. Maybe that style of play, like you were saying, in this match.
He was running a lot more then, because he was always defending. he was defending a lot more. He was always getting up the field, getting back, getting up the field, getting back, getting up the field. Now he's just like, well, no, we're in our, on our own half. We're not spending all our time in our own area because we're playing really attacking football. If they knock it over the top and thinking we've got Van de Ven and Romero to cover, but obviously with those injuries and stuff, it's not helped with the pace at the back. So yeah, there's space for players to run in and find that space. But no, I don't. I think it's just the style of, it is a bit of style of play, I'd say, yes, because of, like I said, with that, we had Harry Kane up front and they'd run around. But I feel like if we did that with Solanke, yes, you could probably do the same thing as what before, but that means we're applying more pressure. And with our defence at the moment, I mean, I don't know if I want that, especially against better teams.
And Brentford are very good at home.
They're very good at home, but they didn't look like that. They didn't. They had loads of chances, but they just didn't turn up as well as what they normally do when they're at home. It might have just been a one-off. Or it's not like we played amazing. We didn't. We played solid, compact football, and for once, we let the opponents make the mistake. Normally, it happens. We're playing so attacking. Everyone's just waiting for Tottenham to...
Little space, always.
Yeah. And that's what happens. You watch the games where we conceded goals. It's always like either we're losing the ball in our own half because of stupid fucking defensive mistakes, or we're up right up the field and we get a ball over the top. I think Newcastle did it to us. I think Isaac did it. I think Leicester have done it. Brighton have done it. Every fucking team's done it. It's an obvious tactic. And when we've not having that pace of Van de Ven to have the recovery, it's... The space is there for them to do it. So it's a tough one. Like
the pace between Ben Davis and Van de Ven's completely chalk and cheese.
It's mental, isn't it? Yeah, that is. Ben Davis ain't exactly a slouch, but it is chalk and cheese.
So the other question that I'd have for you is, given you was forced to change your tactics, would you not want to see him being a bit more? A bit more open to, all right, we're playing a tougher team away from home. Let's let them have the ball for a
little
bit.
He's not going to do that. No.
No, I'm not asking if he's going to do it. I'm asking if you'd be happy to see that. Like, you've been forced into it and it's worked. Maybe you got lucky because, Brentford weren't on it for the
I can answer this. So if we have a full squad, and I mean the best squad we've got, I want that attacking football because I feel like we've already shown that at the beginning of the season where we just didn't get the goals and we started getting it and we went on that like 10-game unbeaten run where players were fit, we looked really sharp, we looked really good, and teams were scared of us. Everyone was talking about it, everyone was watching it, and everyone wanted to watch Tottenham. Yeah, you're seeing that football. It was quality football. Yes, we was always going to concede the odd goals, but why are we always banging in goals? We was like the top goal scorers in the league, and we're also less in conceding. Getting the words wrong, I'm getting tired, but we conceded less than most teams as well at a certain point in the season, even though we were a bit leaky at the back, even with our full squad.
Yeah, for a span of two games.
Yeah, it was a bit longer than that, but I get what you're saying. But if we don't have that full squad, and... We need to adapt. Like, I understand we want to play that attacking football, and maybe you still do some of that, but you need to adapt it a little bit and be like, okay, we've got Archie Gray, Jed Spence, we've got Bergvall. All these youngsters, Dragosin's even young. Yeah, all these young players that have not exactly properly experienced Premier League. Dragosin's played a lot more games now, so you know the settling period's gone now. But the other youngsters, they're like 18. You know, so these guys can't. You know, they're playing top-end Premier League football like that Ange wants. I feel like they don't have that experience just yet to keep that mentality for the game compared to experienced players that can know how to ride a game out, know how to control the ball a bit better, know how to just pass it better. These youngsters, you know, they want to get forward. They want to get forward, don't they? They want to play this sort of... Go on, Bob.
Are you not worried that he hasn't thought of this up until this point? Because you've been without those players. You've been without Van de Ven, Romero, who, like you say, you're probably a bit more confident to play on the front foot because you know they're going to get back, right? But are you not a little bit worried that he hasn't thought about that up until this point?
I think he's thought about it.
Is it not bad management? Like, is it not bad management to go, right, I haven't got my ideal players to play the style of football I want? yes, I want to get the young players up to scratch and play in that football, but I haven't got enough senior players, or I haven't got enough Premier League experienced players to play that way. So maybe I will kind of play what's best for the players that I've got available. They will learn the game management, they get experience. We might not look as good on the eye. We might not score as many goals. We might win a couple more games. We might draw a couple more games. Is that not bad management?
No, I don't think it's bad management. I mean, yes, I want to see us not concede as many goals, but like he's trying to have his philosophy. Like, you have managers that have their own style of football, and if you just change that style of football because everyone outside of the game is like, oh, you know, maybe you should have done like a Mourinho and just sat back on the last 20 minutes of the game and let pile on the pressure and get them on a counter attack. It's like, well, that's not the way Ange wants to do his football. He wants to play exciting football, attacking football, not always just defending.
For me,
I'd be nice if he did change it. Like, instead of making a reactive sub when we've conceded a goal at 2-2 or something, and then he brings on players when we all knew 10 minutes prior to that that, oh, it's looking a bit, you know, oh shit, something could happen here. We could all see it on the telly. And it's like, how is he not seeing this? That you could just see it in the game. Like, in 10 minutes, someone's going to score. And guess what? They score. And then we might lose 3-2 in like 94th minute because he's decided to make a change like 5 minutes left to the game. It's some of that. I mean, it's easy for us to say from here, but like for him, he wants that philosophy. And he said it time and time again. He gets asked this question all the time in the media. And again, all he says, what does he say? It's who we are, mate.
It's who we are.
But it's just stubbornness at the end of the day. Because we've now got proof that all of those critics have been saying to him, like, maybe change up your style a bit. Or they've not been saying that to give him advice, but they've been asking about his philosophy and stuff like that. But we've now got proof. You went to Brentford, you was forced into that mentality and that way of playing. And
they proved they can do it. Now, as I say, like, you might say, Tottenham were lucky on the day because Brentford wasn't at it for sure.
They're like 20 chances, I think. They weren't clinical enough.
So on a different day, you still get pumped in that game.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. So again, even from that perspective, is if they turned up and had their shooting boots on, I mean, I can't remember who it was. They did have a couple of chances. They just didn't. No, that was it. He hit the crossbar. I think it was really close to goal. Like on another day, that's going in. He had not loads of time, but the ball come in and it come up on like a bit of a bounce for him and he's hit the crossbar. That's going in for like another player or another day for him. And we could have been 1-0 down. And you look at that and you feel like, okay, we got lucky there. The teams are going to get chances. That's football. But like they had 20 chances.
But the thing is, that's part and parcel of playing the way that where you soak up the pressure, you try and make it hard for them. Because there must have been circumstances within those 20 shots where you've got too many men behind the ball, whereas maybe they wouldn't be there if he stuck to his normal philosophy.
Not
necessarily. I get what you guys are saying. Not necessarily. I mean, you'd have to look at previous stats on how many games teams have had chances against us and look at those stats and do like an average.
Well, you need to look at where those chances are as well.
Because if it's a
Manapanos, whatever his name is, shot from 40 yards in the last minute of the game, you know, you're not really worried.
Why'd you have to bring that up again?
I mean, he had a shot from 6 yards out and hit a crossbar. And like I said, another day that goes in and the game changes. It's just, there's always going to be, when you play against Tottenham, there's always going to be some good chances for you. If you don't put them away, then Tottenham are known for punishing you. That's just the way Tottenham play.
And I mean, attacking, not this season.
No.
We've
done a few games this season, but no, we haven't looked great on for a while now. But like, you've got to look at Tottenham and be like, what is it that we want as a fan? You know, as a fan, what is it we want? Do we want to play attractive football? Do we expect to concede 4 goals in a game, but we know we're going to score 6? Do we just sit back and play the Mourinho Conte football of counter-attack football? We turn up and yes, we might win 1-0, but everyone's sitting there for 80 minutes and it's just, oh, for fuck's sake, we've paid £60, £70 for a ticket and that's it. So it might win us a trophy. It might not win us a trophy. It's,
well, why it's frustrations, Clive. Why do you have to play one way or the other? Why can't you mix it up?
Because he's got his philosophy. I told you, he's got his philosophy. You go call Ange up and ask him. I don't fucking know. He's,
I mean, I philosophy. Can't. Because he fucking dodged a call and just looked down at his feet if I called
no,
him.
No, well, you know, look.
That's a bit rude, mate.
That guy from Londoners is right, cunt.
I like the attacking football, but I'm looking. I'm not just looking at his philosophy. I'm looking at the players as well.
That's what I asked.
I said you last week is the mistakes.
I can get behind like wanting to play away. Obviously, West Ham fans played a West Ham way for 20 odd years, which nobody knows how it is, but.
He's fucking on one today.
Well, you won 5-1. I'm fucking chipper. So, to me, I don't really know what to think about it. If he was my manager, I'd be fed up. Like, don't get me wrong. I've been blessed watching Arsenal with Thierry Henry and playing great, attractive football. Then we had a period of not playing very good football. Even under Arsene Wenger, there was the last couple of years where we didn't play great football. We grinded out results, but we weren't challenging for anything. We wasn't really competing. Under Emery, for whatever reason, with the players that we had, he set up defensively and he set up to nullify teams rather than beat teams. So we've kind of had a lot of different styles in a short period of time. And with Arteta, he changes depending on the opponent. Like we probably change kind of tactics more than most teams in the Premier League at the moment. But it gets results. You'd argue it hasn't been successful because we haven't won a trophy other than the FA Cup in his first season.
Which was an Emery team.
But he's practical about it and he will adapt the team to the players that he's got available. Sometimes for the worst. But I just don't understand going so 100% into your philosophy if it isn't getting results and you're missing the majority of your players that you believe can deliver that, just change it up a little bit, tweak a little bit. You don't have to change your whole philosophy, tweak things. I don't see him tweaking.
Yeah. I should hope not. Fucking hell.
I mean, the pitch. Look, he changed it, didn't he? We won against Brentford.
Well, he was forced to.
Yeah, he was forced to, yeah. It doesn't... The thing is, it's all well and good. Like I said, when we were winning those games, everyone was like, oh, mate, this philosophy is great. You know, the attacking football attractive for scoring. And then we pick up the injuries, we start losing games. And yes, he hasn't changed his tactic. He's still trying to play the attacking football, trying to keep it like that so that, you know, it stays like that for even when the other players come back. It's that football. We're still going to attack teams. And yeah, we haven't had the players to do that. And yeah, as I said, I would like him to change it, like even at 15 minutes or something. Blah, like, oh, you know, shit, we're doing, this ain't working. You know, I don't know why he's bringing on two defensive midfield players, taking Maddison off.
Yeah, when you're chasing a goal.
It does, yeah. It's sometimes players like Papa Sarr, like he scored, yes, he does get forward quite a bit. But.
Well, if you're leading a game, it gives him the chance to, right?
Yeah.
Which he was when Pepe Sarr scored. If you're 1-0 up, that's going to open more spaces. And it was a very good finish. It was a good attack.
That's a good team play,
I think Son assisted it as well.
He did.
But that's because Brentford were pushing on to get an equaliser. So it gave you that space in behind them for once rather than the other way around, right?
Yeah, I agree. But that's always football, though. There's always going to be space.
I've got one more question for you, Luke. Sorry.
Ask away, mate.
But... would you rather have had this last crop of games where you didn't have your full squad and whatever, would you have rather he changed his tactics and got some more points from those games? Or are you happy because he just kind of kept with the same philosophy and went with attacking attractive football?
I don't know. I don't think. I think it could have been a different outcome. yesterday.
So my even, follow even up
with
my...
that defensive. So well, okay, so hear me out, sort of, Clive, before you go to the end.
Yeah, sure.
Let's say, obviously, he's changed his tactic. Yeah, he's been, you know, forced to change tactic. Let's say we get hammered, like Paul Merson was going to. Oh no, Carragher was saying, not Paul Merson. Carragher was saying we was going to get smashed. Yeah. Well, then what would his conversation be? It would just be Ange out. It would be, wouldn't it? It'd be Ange out now.
I mean, I'd keep him forever if I was you.
No,
guys.
No, you guys, you'd love it, yeah. You know, I'm hoping you keep Arteta because he doesn't want to win anything. So I'm happy for that. But looking at Tottenham and Ange, he won the game, forced change of tactic. That doesn't mean that Leicester the week before, he did the same thing. We could have got hammered. A different team, like I said, 20 chances they had. Leicester might have scored 4 of those chances, which means that, okay, what would have then happened? Again, another conversation.
And another conversation would be, what if you kept his ideal philosophy, went out with those players and got beat 2-0 by Brentford because you didn't have the players behind the ball?
Well, so he can't win then, can he? He honestly can't win.
Bob's not asking you... like if you think he can win, he's asking would you be happy with him doing those changes, making those changes? So my follow-up question would be, are you happy watching attractive football but losing the majority of your games?
No, I don't want to lose. No, yeah, I don't, because that means we're not going to get in top four, Clive. If you can't, yeah, we can't lose the majority of our games.
Well, that's what you've got.
But he's trying to build something. I think everyone's just looking at this and being like, "Well, he's trying to build a squad, and every time he tries to do something, someone's fucking injured." It's just, what are we supposed to do here?
Larger picture, right? You finished outside the top 10 this season.
Yeah, which is more likely.
I think that's likely now. Yeah, I agree. You keep him in place. You have your fully fit team next season.
Yep.
You start off well, and then the same thing happens. Where's your head at that point?
Well, if the same thing, you
start getting injury after injury. Where do you look?
I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, it could well happen though. No, there's so many injuries going around.
There's so many injuries, but we've already brought like 3 players in already. Well, we'll look at the summer. We'll bring some more players in. Don't forget
the players online.
Yeah, but don't. Oh, okay. Oh, we're still here, isn't he? You know, so we're still a player that
for
we've got
months,
for 6 months. That there is an option to.
No,
I say
not.
An option to buy. There's a thingy option. Not a guaranteed that we can thingy. It's just that there's an option there. If we want to put a bid in for him for a cost of 40 million, I think it was.
So you go into it. Every club's available to bid for 40 million.
No, but look, there's a clause in there that says we can opt to buy him, but he still gets the decision if he wants to join us. I don't fucking know how it works, Clive. I'm not a contract person.
I'm pretty sure there was no option to buy.
There was an option to buy.
Right, okay. But, I mean, that particular player as well, we shouldn't talk transfers because we'd be here all night.
Not for Arsenal. So we ain't got to worry about
that. No, we would be because I'd be moaning about the lack of. I don't know much about him. I've only seen a couple of stats, which obviously he doesn't get many minutes. So you can't really kind of even suss how good of a player he is in that league at the moment. From what I've heard, he's very raw and can play left wing. He's right footed, I believe, left wing cutting in or play centre striker. So the idea would be striker, right? Because Son's going to be on the left wing and Johnson, when he's fit, will be on the right wing.
Probably be the rotation. There'll probably be the rotation between Son. Son's only got a year left in his contract.
No, Son signed a new deal.
Yeah, he's got a year. Year left. He's only for 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's only got a year left. And with the games we're already in, like, 3 cups? And we've obviously the Premier League as well, so it's the rotation and having him there. But yeah, striker at the moment it would be because Solanke's injured, but Richarlison's back, so I don't know what he's going to do here. I'm not too sure. We'll have to see.
Because obviously Tell's got to have been guaranteed match time, right?
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
not coming.
No, not for that sort of money we're paying for him, like 8 million or something like that.
Have you paid an 8 million fee as well?
Something like that, yeah. It's quite cool. Well, I don't. There's this talk here that they were saying that it's not Tottenham actually officially paying it because they owed us money for Harry Kane.
Right, so you're just knocking 8 mil off the bill.
We're just knocking something off of the bill or whatever it is. Right. Apparently, whatever this is on the news, whatever people are talking about, something. It's Levy. Levy wouldn't have done it unless there was a deal.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's something going on there. But yeah, he's, you know, he's another player that if he does well, you know, he's got pace. Hopefully he can finish because Werner can't finish for Toffee. Yeah, it's just not a play.
Again,
I think we're strengthening.
I mean, I don't really know what to say to that because I've not seen the evidence of that like in the last few seasons.
But look at this. We're coming to Arsenal anyway in a second. But look at Arsenal at the moment. Yeah, you asked Mitch about the question of the board and stuff like that on Chelsea and stuff. Arteta's been there for what, 4 years?
Four seasons.
Yeah, he's won the FA Cup. Yeah.
Yep.
You can see improvement every year. But like, when does it become a point where Arsenal managers and everyone else look at the club and go, oh, you know what? Arteta's been great. He's been good. No, not great, but he's been good. He's done the FA Cup, fair enough. You know, he's won maybe a Community Shield. I don't fucking know. Whatever it is, yeah. Run some B trophies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then, oh, we actually need a manager that's going to take us over the thing, because
so,
this season, so, Liverpool should not be where they are. Arsenal should be.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But I think he's got until next season. I think if he doesn't start delivering next season, because when Edu was there with him, it was a 5-year plan. In the 5 years, we want to be in this position. Now, I do believe we kind of got to competing before we expected to be. So I think the first year that we came second in the league 2 years ago, the goal was to be in the Champions League that season, so top four. And to go as far as we did with coming up short, I think that was ahead of schedule. And I think obviously that's had an impact on last season, and the progression has kind of speeded up. But I think it's a 5-year goal. It's a 5-year plan with Arsenal. And one of the things I've touched on, and one of the things that I think is very different with Arsenal, is the fact that that's been very kind of spoken about by the club. It's been spoken about by the higher ups. It's trust the process. It's the process. So at the moment, yeah. Oh, we, as you rightly say, where Liverpool sit at the moment is crazy, and it should be Arsenal off the back of the last two seasons. It should be Arsenal capitalising on City being as poor as they've been this season. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
When you say a 5-year deal, are you saying is that Premier League title non-negotiable, or is it a trophy?
I think it's a major trophy. So I think FA Cup, Premier League, Champions League.
Oh, well, he's fine in for another 5 years because he won the FA Cup.
I think within the process. Obviously, the FA Cup that he won was off the back of not his team.
No.
Obviously, he had to get it over the line, and he did. But this is his team now. All of those players from the FA Cup, with the exception of one or two, have gone. This is his team. They're playing the football that he wants them to play. He's had his team now. I'd say we're going into the second season. Rice was apparently the final piece of the puzzle back then. Obviously, we thought we had a striker in Jesus. Unfortunately, injuries have stopped him pushing on to where we want him to be. I think this is his team 100% now. And next season, in my opinion, is the fifth season of him being in charge for the process. And yeah, without an FA Cup or a Champions League or a Premier League next season, I think people will really start putting the pressure on him.
But would you be happy with an FA Cup next season? Like, say if we have a similar season to this one, like maybe Liverpool drop off this time and Man City start to pick it up again. Would you really be happy with second or third rather than and also get an FA Cup?
It would depend on the season. Like, I can't say. I mean, we could have Tottenham's woes with injuries next season. So it would all depend on the scenario.
Yeah, but you won't have a problem though, would you? Because you'll just change the way you play, which will make you win games, right?
We'd probably adapt. Yeah, you're right. Like, we've got an 18-year-old playing left-back at the moment. So
don't you talk about 80-year-olds playing in different positions.
We've got an 18-year-old playing on the right wing.
We've got a 17-year-old playing in centre midfield.
That's why I say it, Luke. That's literally why I said it.
Fucking hell, awesome.
So, but we're winning games still.
Okay, let's say, for example, because obviously we can't write you off at the moment because it's still not the end of the season. But let's say you do finish second this season and it's a 6-point gap. It just finishes now, right? And it's identical next season, but you win an FA Cup, you go out the Champions League. Do you think that's enough for Arsenal fans, really? Like, are people going to start crying for him to be out at that point?
People have already cried for him to be out. So, yeah, there will be people that want him out. I think it depends on... No. No. I think we're, as most people would say, we're a striker short of really pushing on and taking us a step further. There's a lot of noise in terms of why hasn't he bought a striker? It's not, that to me is not an Arteta decision. I think Arteta has said, yeah, I want attacking players. I want to reinforce the squad. He's probably given names of who he wants. Then it's up to the board to go and get those players. It's up to the negotiation men. I don't know who it is now since Edu's gone, but it's up to them to go and secure the squad for him. He is doing, in my opinion, a great job with the players that he's got. And getting results with, as everyone would say, like, Kai Havertz is not going to score you 20 goals a season, but I think we've still scored the second most goals in the Premier League this season. He's coaching players and he coaches players in a way that they improve. He's got some wacky ideas in terms of some of his methods, for sure. But I think he has continued to progress the squad.
This is my problem, right, with the striker situation, because I know you've said that he kind of coaches people to get them to the upper level, which I do agree with. But with those strikers that you've mentioned, so Havertz, and Jesus, to a certain extent, I wouldn't say he was ever prolific, and Arteta would know that, right? Do you know what I mean? So, like, why are those two when you're looking to compete for a Premier League?
So, I don't believe we signed Havertz as a striker. I believe we signed him as a rotation player for attacking midfield to not put all the pressure on Odegaard. I think that is evident from when we first started playing him. He wasn't a striker. Jesus was playing up ahead of him. And we haven't had a replacement for Jesus with the ACL injuries that he's had. But you're right in a sense that Jesus come to Arsenal not being a prolific number nine. But that's because City played him out wide a lot of the time. And we took a risk playing him as a number nine. And he started off at Arsenal very sharp. He started off very, very good. And he did look like he would be able to get 15 to 20 goals. But I think one of the problems with that is the fact that he has had two huge injuries. And because we didn't have a secondary striker at the time to kind of rotate. So that's mismanagement.
Yeah, but I think...
We had Eddie Nketiah on the bench.
I think you're right in terms of he did start off sharp. I remember him, I think we was watching Billericay at the time, and he got a hat trick and stuff like that, and it was quite positive from it. But he does seem to have it, even with City, and it might be the where they played him. But I don't know. I just think, well, Arteta, was he at City when Jesus was there? Or yeah. was it... So yeah. he would know better than anyone of his ability. So I'm assuming that he's kind of looked at him and thought, we could probably get more out of him.
He's looked at him and he's gone, we're losing Aubameyang, who was a fantastic number nine. I need to replace that. He obviously knows his attitude. He knows his work rate, which is something that Arteta loves in a player. He will do the running, like, and that's one of the points with the Man City game this weekend. Is one of the chances, not one of the goals, but one of the chances we created was from Kai Havertz making a sliding tackle on our 18-yard box. And what other strikers do that in the Premier League at the moment? You'll find very little.
You might find some more that get more goals though.
you definitely will, but we've scored the second most amount of goals in the Premier League this season, so only Liverpool have outscored us so far this season.
Again, Clive, we didn't hear it the first time.
Well, exactly, so it's going in one ear and out the other.
Well, not for your strikers, but I get what you're saying. You're scoring, that's how you win the league. You don't just win the league just from one striker.
Well, you know, Liverpool, you win Mo Salah.
Mo Salah's been banging them in, yes, but Gakpo's been scoring. Luis Diaz has been scoring.
Have you seen Mo Salah's goal and assist ratio?
Oh, it's probably ridiculous. It's always in with him.
It's in the 60%.
Yeah, it's
60% of their goals are through Mo Salah.
Yeah,
which is crazy, and which is
great. And
that's a world-class player.
That is a world-class player. That's what you need. But we had a world-class player in Harry Kane, and he probably scored 60% of our goals. But we didn't win fuck all with it. And that's I probably agree with you on that, to be fair. but you have to have the players around you to chip in. That is how you win the league. You see it in the old Arsenal, you see it in the old United, you see it in the old Chelsea. Drogba was quality, but he had players around him that would also get goals. Lampard was banging in 15, 20 a season and a bunch of assists. Man City, when they done it, De Bruyne was banging in goals. It's just Foden. You're getting all these players that scores to get goals. It's not just always about the striker, but I think the problem is with Arsenal is that you don't have that striker that's going to get you guaranteed 15 goals a season that will then contribute you further into winning the league is what I believe.
I don't disagree. I mean, Kai Havertz is on I think 9 goals in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, which is great considering he's been changing positions.
Yeah, it's fair play to him. Yeah. And this is my point is I think the efficiency of a striker like your Harry Kane's, your Jamie Vardy's, that kind of ilk player where you get one chance to win a game, you put your house on them scoring the goal. They're scoring that chance. Whereas Kai Havertz, you wouldn't. It's a 50-50 at best that he's going to put the ball in the back of the net when he's got one of those chances. And he has had big moments in his career. Like he scored the Champions League winning goal for Chelsea against Man City. So he can do it. He's got the mentality to do it. But I don't know how many chances he had in that game before that chance, you know? And that's so when we talk about the Arsenal game, I think you're kind of sidetracking me, so don't go on about how we won 5-1 against Man City this weekend.
It's a good tactic, boys.
It's a good tactic.
We don't want to talk about it.
But yeah, like when Jesus come into the team, and the same with Sinchenko, that raised us to the next level. That the whole squad had a boost because of those players. I think we've now moved past them, and we don't know what kind of player is going to come back in Jesus either. It's 2 ACL injuries in 2 seasons now. So,
well, he probably might score 6 against Crystal Palace and then stop scoring.
then do his ACL again.
Yeah.
We are crying out for that striker now. and that prolific striker, and that will give us more options in regards to rotating and not over relying on the likes of Martin Odegaard and Saka. So
it's just a shocking you haven't bought one. It's just like it's weird.
I don't know if it's a PSR thing. I don't know if the right opportunity didn't come up in the market. And that, obviously that's the PR from the club is, oh, we're going to wait for the right player for the right moment. I personally believe the offer for Ollie Watkins was literally a PR. Look, we've tried to sign a striker.
Oh yeah, you ain't getting Ollie Watkins.
Apparently Villa offered him to us for 60 million. Apparently. But 60 million for a 29-year-old who's a proven goal scorer in the Premier League, but he's only scored one more goal than Kai Havertz this season. And he's played three more matches. So,
and he missed a lot of chances as well.
Yeah. So yeah, would he be the right player?
Arsenal fan. I think he is. Perfect signing for Arsenal. I don't know if he's just having a bit of trouble with what's his face, the manager.
He had a great season under Emery last season.
I don't know what's happened this season. You can just see it in his demeanour. There's something not quite right there.
Probably the competition. He's got Duran there now.
He hasn't anymore.
No, he ain't anymore, but he had it in the first part of the season.
Well, he ain't worried about
him. Yeah. I think last season he was playing every game and he hasn't played every game this season. So he still played 24 games.
He still appeared in 24.
It just seems like the perfect fit for us. And like you're saying, right, like to bring it full circle to, like, you know, looking to change managers and stuff. I think Arteta, with the right striker, is that's all Arsenal need to go win the Premier Leagues.
I 100% agree. Do I think Ollie Watkins is the right striker? I would have liked to have signed him 2 years ago when he was a little bit younger.
Listen to us, we're on.
I personally believe we're going for Benjamin Sesko in the summer. I think that's the number one target, and I think a £40 million offer for Ollie Watkins in this current window, as low ball as that is and as Arsenal as that is in the transfer market, if that had come off, yeah, that could have got us over the line this year. I don't think it would. I think Liverpool are too far ahead now. So is it a gamble doing that and hoping that Liverpool drop the points we require and then not signing a 21-year-old striker in the summer who we see as he's the one we want? Watkins would have been I'm not going to say panic buy because it would have been a smart purchase, but I don't believe he's the number one target. But
so you're going to buy Olivier Giroud too.
With a bit more pace.
Calvin Lewin.
No, we don't want another injury-prone striker. Thank you very much. I think it was... I don't think he's number one target, Ollie Watkins. And if he's not the number one target, I think that's... We've kind of... Well, I hope the conversation is, what are the chances of winning the Premier League with Ollie Watkins this season? Probably still, maybe at this point, 10%. If Liverpool really slip up. Okay, what are the odds of Arsenal winning the Premier League without Ollie Watkins this season? Probably 9%. If Liverpool really slip up, is it worth spending 60 million on him now for a 29-year-old? I don't think so.
I mean, your maths are terrible, Clive. He'd offer more than what you're suggesting percentage-wise.
I don't think he would. And I'm saying to win the league this season at this point,
I think we
would need Liverpool to drop 12 points. Basically.
Do you need to still play Liverpool?
We've got them once, yeah.
Okay, so there's 3 points, yeah?
That was away from home.
Let's just say hypothetically speaking, yeah? Let's say hypothetically speaking, you beat them, right. Yeah?
Sure.
You're not like Tottenham at the turn up Liverpool and they always struggle against
them. We don't win at Anfield.
Not many people do, to be fair. But
don't normally beat City, though.
No. What's that?
And we don't have a world-class striker to do it.
No, so. If you just...
Stay humble.
He's a player. Ollie Watkins is a player that he's going to get you some of those goals, Clive, that you've been lacking. And it may get you those little wins at the end of the game where you're it's 1-1, where a few times where you guys have sat back after scoring 1-0 up and teams have come at you and scored and you've drawn.
So look at it in that sense. I think we could all agree for Arsenal to win the league this season would need to win every single game.
No. Correct? I don't think so. I don't think Liverpool are going to go undefeated.
But they still need to lose three games. Without us dropping any points.
Well, they can draw games as well.
Sure. But we still need to make the 9 points difference. So in my opinion, for Arsenal to win... Yeah, 12 points. Sure. No, it's 9 points with the game in hand. Yeah. So for Arsenal to win the league, realistically, we've got 14 games left. I generally believe for Arsenal to win the league, we'd need to win every game.
I actually agree with you, Clive. I think with the early working situation, I actually agree with you.
I think he adds any... he adds a couple of goals, for sure. Like, I'm not going to doubt that. But I don't think he offers... If it was a guarantee you buy him, you win the league, yes, absolutely. But because Liverpool got such a great gap... I think it's...
Yeah, but it's increasing your chances more than 1% of what you're suggesting, Clive.
I don't know if it does. Not at this point in the season.
I think it does.
If there was another 5 games to go on top of what we've got left, maybe.
You're buying a striker that's proven in the Premier League. He's gonna go straight into Arsenal and he's just going to adapt really quickly into your style of play. Because it is just attacking football. The way you're playing at the moment and your defence is fucking solid, he ain't got to worry about anything. He's literally just got to be on the attack constantly. And he's a much better striker than the players that you've got.
So to kind of battle that point, we don't play all out attack. Like, we press high. Like, and that's one of the points about the Man City game. Like, it was so refreshing to see. So let's start the Arsenal-Man City chat now, because... If not, we're not going to get to it, and that will annoy all of the fans.
Not really, but okay.
So, great result, 5-1, fantastic. First minute, great press, Odegaard triggering it. That's one of the points, is having Thomas Partey play his natural position, having Rice be able to play a bit further forward and contribute to the press. It's the first game, to me, it's the first game since being back from injury, Martin Odegaard has looked fully fit and up for it. So with those three things combined, we did look like the Arsenal of last season. And that was superb to see. So from that point of view, what a great job. We had a couple of big, big saves from Raya as well at 1-0. Some absolute two class saves. Then when they scored, I think a lot of people thought, oh, here we go. Now we're going to go a bit into our shell and not know what to do. And then we had a world-class strike from Thomas Partey. 1 minute later, world-class. Not a dodgy deflection at all. At that point, you just saw the guys... go, hang on a minute, we can beat these. They're not good this season. They've not got Rodri. Let's get at them even more. And the press was fantastic. But as I said earlier, a lot of that game was sitting back in defensive shape. I don't know how good Ollie Watkins is at that. Kai Havertz, fantastic at that. Martinelli, fantastic at that. Saka, fantastic at that. They work their socks off. I don't know if Ollie Watkins gives you that.
Yeah, but that's where you can rotate. Arteta be smart enough to know that.
I don't disagree, but what my point is, if you've got Ollie Watkins playing the number 9 and Kai Havertz not, are you going to get the same from the start, from minute 1, are you going to get the same energy up and down the pitch that Kai gives you? I don't think so.
Well, they're different players, but he'll definitely chase down the defenders.
It chases.
Yeah. And then it'll be a certain point where he'll stop. If Havertz is dropping more than that, but that's how you get a striker to score more goals. Like, if he's constantly dropping back in his own half, what's the point of him having a striker? You might as well keep the false 9 and then just have Havertz there and do that role. As Mitchell said, you rotate it.
I think that's the plan. I don't, even with Sesko, I think he's going to be dropping and he's going to be put. I don't see a player in an Arsenal team that isn't under Arteta. I don't see a player that's coming into the Arsenal team and being a Haaland. And
yeah, but he's just not going to give you that
focal point.
Haaland's
no, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying.
But then
under Arteta, you won't have that player.
Well, then you guys are fucked for a striker then.
Well, no, we just need a more efficient striker. When you get the chances, you need to score them.
You're going to have that. And I think Ollie Watkins does get quite a lot of chances and he misses a lot, but he's still better than
what we've got. I don't know if I agree with that. I think he's a good goal scorer, but I don't think he's better in the sense of he won't do the work that Arteta requires, I don't believe.
He just needs to put in the back of the net, Clive. That's what you need. You need someone to score goals. And regardless of how he does it, you need to play for that striker then. Because if you want to win the league, you need a striker that's going to score your goals. Not someone that's just going to give you good work rate, getting back and tackling the defence. That's what your other players are for. You need someone that's in that box, fox in the box, someone with pace running behind the defenders is going to get goals. And you're such a team that plays really good football. I hate to say this. Yeah, where you're passing, the possession. It's very rare to you guys lose, like not have possession, most of the possession in games. Is that you've got that ability. You have chances, but you keep missing
unless
them.
We have a red card.
Well,
and that's a lot. And I'm not excusing, I'm not blaming referees here. I'll blame Arsenal's red cards and players' lack of discipline for us not being top of the league. That has played a huge part. And I'm not saying that's a referee thing. I'm not saying it's not a woe it's me statement. I'm saying if Arsenal had better discipline,
sounds like it,
and didn't have as many red cards, they would have won more games this season. But that's the difference. The Brighton game, the Man City away game, the Bournemouth away game. We've had four games where we've dropped points due to having a player sent off, rightly or wrongly.
Yeah, so I don't feed him, but just with injuries. But I get what
you're saying. Well, playing with 11 people for a game and playing with 10 players for a half of a game is a bit different. But I know what you're saying.
I mean, yeah. We won with 10.
When did you win with 10?
When we got players sent off. Oh, Clive.
When was
I
that?
I can't remember the game. We did win with 10, though.
Cool. But that's my point is, I don't think it's the lack of striker that's the reason why we're not top of the league. I think it is, again, unfortunately for Arsenal, not keeping 11 men on the pitch for whatever reason in every single game. I think that's where we've dropped... Well, I know that's where we've dropped points. We've lost two games this season. And I think it's only one of them that we had 11 men on the pitch.
What about the draws then?
So, well, the draws are Man City away...
Yep.
2-2, Trossard sent off.
I mean, we beat him, but go on.
Brighton, 2-2. Rice sent off. Bournemouth, 1-0 loss. Saliba sent off. So they're the games we are dropping points.
Player sent off, right?
I don't know if we did. No, I don't think so. I think we just drew 2-2. But that's where the 12 points are going to come from. That would be the difference, in my opinion. And that's, again, that's not me pointing the finger at referees. If I wanted to do that, I'd talk about how crap Michael Oliver... we did that last week. But there was one referee decision that I was a bit perplexed about at the weekend. Bernardo Silva being allowed to kick Trossard after the whistle was blown.
As he should.
Nothing, not even a yellow card. Who would have thought? But other than that, there's nothing bad to say about the performance with Arsenal this weekend. Miles Skelly was superb at left back. Nwari, when he came on, was again exciting to watch. Odegaard, as I say, it was the first game that he looked fully fit and up for it. Kai Havertz put an absolute session in. Thomas Partey looked like a great defensive midfielder playing in defensive midfield. Rice looked fantastic. Yeah, it was superb all round. Saliba and Gabriel looked solid as always. So yeah, and Timber just looked like he was just doing his job. So very, very happy, and we've owed them a beating for a while. It's been hard watching. It's been hard watching us against City over the last few years, so it was very nice.
And you finally beat them when it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and that's exactly my feeling. It's not a nothing game, but it's not a statement win, in my opinion. Liverpool will look at it and go, cool, they've won a game. They still need to win. Well, we still need to lose three for them to get within touching distance.
Yeah, so. And let's face it, fucking Spurs beat them by 4 goals. So it's
like, how did West Ham do against them?
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to talk about it.
Cool, right. Shall we move on to Man versus AI, or do we want to speak any more?
I feel like you've had your
questions. Excellent news. Right, a quick decision. We're going to do another podcast before the next round of Premier League games. The next round of Premier League games, I believe, February 14th for Chelsea. So, yeah, we should do another episode before then, and we can maybe talk transfer windows and shit like that. Just nonsense. So, right, we're not going to do any actual predictions tonight, boys, is what I'm getting at. We are just going to do a recap. All in agreement?
Yeah.
Wonderful news. Yeah. So, not a very good week for you humans. I think...
Familiar story.
Yeah. So let's run through Chelsea v West Ham. Mitchell predicted a 2-2 draw.
Idiot.
Bob predicted a 1-1 draw. So both got 0 points. Luke predicted a 2-1 win against Brentford. So got 1 point. Clive predicted a 2-2 draw with City. So got 0 points.
Mug.
I'm catching up now.
Oh, I'm so worried. Brentford AI predicted the same result as Luke, 2-1, so got 1 point. It then predicted Man City to beat Arsenal, 2-1, so got 0. It predicted a 2-1 Chelsea win, so got 3, with a total of 4 points.
Bastards.
So as it stands, AI is on 72 points. We are on 53 points.
Fuck it,
yeah. God, nice old lead now. And the league table between us, Mitchell sitting top with 16 points, Clive sitting second with 15 points, Bob sitting joint second with 15 points. Luke has finally made a little bit of a gain and is sitting on 7 points.
I mean, catching up.
You are right. You've caught up this week.
Yep.
So keep going.
Well, it's on Tottenham.
You could predict a loss or a draw.
No, why would I do that? A draw I could probably do, but not a loss.
You don't draw many either, to be fair. Yeah, so that's true. I don't know how good that would do you. But yeah, I think that's going to be a wrap this evening, unless anyone else has got anything else to say.
It's truly been a pleasure, but fuck Chelsea.
Fuck Chelsea.
So we've had fuck Arsenal, fuck Chelsea. So obviously, I'm going to say fuck Spurs.
Of course.
And gin.
Mate, keep him there. I'm happy with him.
Fucking right. Right. We're going to leave it at that. Bob, sign us out off in an Ange kind of way.
I just fucking did.
Do it again.
Leave it there. No, I don't want to again. I feel on the spot.
You almost did then. That no had a bit of a twang to it.
Yeah, I know. And you do it, Clive.
Nah.
It'd turn out shit.